Lutherans in the UK, Living Grace.
Welcome to Watch and Listen, our next episode of the Lutherans in the UK, Living Grace. This is the title of our podcast, which we started like 1 year and ago. And we have switched to a video format, so people who like the visual part of podcasts can also watch us and then see us. We are live from CLC office, from Trident House in London. And my name is Meelis Süld. I'm outreach coordinator in the Council of Lutheran Churches. Together with me is Anna Kraus, who is our general secretary.
Hello.
And we have invited also a Lutheran pastor from the Lutheran Church in Great Britain, Maris Sands, to be with us.
Hello.
And we would like to talk now in June about LGBT inclusivity in our churches, especially as June is the Pride Month. So this is the month when we talk about these topics. And also London Pride is coming, and the Council of Lutheran Churches has decided to be part of that and has registered to be part of London Pride. And we have 50 places, so we can go with our member churches and participate in that event. But I would actually start exactly why is the participation for the Council of Lutheran Churches at London Pride important for us. And in addition, I would also mention that we have started the group Lutherans Inclusive, which gathers LGBT Christians and their friends. Mm-hmm. But why is this topic also for us relevant and why we need to participate?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the issue of human sexuality and human ethics, it's not one where everyone would agree in our member churches on the same thing. But, you know, largely speaking, I think a lot of our member churches have a positive and inclusive attitude towards LGBTQ people. We can see that because some of our member churches, like the Finnish church and the Swedish church, have been part of the Pride before. And in the home countries of many of our member churches, same-sex marriage is allowed, or a blessing for a same-sex marriage in the churches can be given. So generally speaking, I think many of our member churches have a positive attitude towards that. And it is very important to show that there are churches who are inclusive and who are open to LGBTQ people. Do not want to treat them as different kinds of humans, as sinful beings for no other reason than being what they are. So it's very important to be out there and show that kind of support as a church organization, as CLC, in our member churches as well, and be a voice that is equally strong as the voice that opposes that, at least.
And Maris, you have been open about your identity, your background, your experiences. And is it correct to say that you have become pastor, so to say, twice in your life?
Yeah, I have been excommunicated from Lutheran Church in Latvia in 2002, 21st of May. I remember the date, because they said that I promote homosexuality. What it means to promote, they have a law that it's not allowed to promote, but it means that there is no, it's not allowed to say any positive thing about LGBT people. That is a horrible law. It means that there is not, it's not possible to have a discussion. That was the first time I became pastor in 1994 when I was ordained, and then 2002 I was excommunicated, and then for 2017 or 18 when I was finally received back in Lutheran Church in Great Britain.
So it is another church now. It's the Lutheran Church in Great Britain. So you emigrated also from Latvia.
Yeah, I had to emigrate because of me being one of two gay people openly open about identity, about our identity. I had lots of physical attacks even on the street on those days.
How have you reconciled these two topics, like the homosexuality, what the church has historically been teaching about it, and your own sexuality and identity? How have you found peace within yourself, and how have you helped other people?
I think it was so that I became Christian because I was gay. And that's really important to say. I was born and grew up in a non-Christian family, not even nominally Christian. And under communist regime, my mother even was member of Communist Party. But when I read the criminal code and I understood all these situations around, when I realized that I'm gay, I understood that I'm a criminal, and what to do with that and how to live with that. That you understand that you are regarded as criminal even if you haven't done anything. So at the age of 15, I started to go to psychiatrists, and that actually later was very bad for me because under Soviet rule, psychiatrists had to report to KGB about people like me. So later, the KGB asked me to work for them, and I remember the exact date, the exact time it was. I already was Christian, but I was secretly Christian, because it was difficult for me. I was studying to be a teacher of mathematics on those days. And somebody came and said, I have to report about someone. And if I don't, they said, we know who you are. I was still a virgin. I hadn't had sex with anyone. And how could they know? And I know that the only way how to know that was through psychiatrists. But I went to church because I understood that I can't talk to anyone, otherwise I will be outcast for life. I just went to church seeking help from God, what to do with that. And he gave me answer, but the answer, it took him him 15 years when I started to understand quite what God wants with my sexuality. He accepted. All these years I was praying to get rid of it and tried to be part of all these healing movements now forbidden in many countries. That's how it was. I'm confused.
Yeah, and at that time, when you were young and teenager and growing up in Latvia, then it was part of Soviet Union, Latvia, and it was a criminal offense to be homosexual.
Mm-hmm. It was criminal offense, but we can't imagine how it was when I became Christian. It was still difficult to be Christian. I would live in one part of city and would go to church in totally different part of city because I didn't want anyone to see that I go to church.
That was also something which was not how to say, welcomed in Soviet society.
Not at all. And I had quite good experiences with prayer when I never felt that God rejects me. God always accepted me. and yeah, that's how I feel. And,
but how did you decide to, or how did it happen that you came out of closet? Because I assume that the first years when you worked for the church, you were closeted.
Yeah, I was closeted and I worked. I didn't want to become minister at all, but I felt that God wants me to be a hostel chaplain. But then, of course, being a hospital chaplain, and there we had lack of priests, so I was accepted as a parish priest as well. I was the first hospital chaplain in Latvia after war. I had to conduct a funeral of a 15-year-old boy who committed suicide. And that was in 2002, and the church was very aggressive, extremely aggressive towards gay people in those days. They published that gay people are Satanists, that we are Satan's creatures almost. I mean, that was, it was so that the situation was that it was in church newspapers written things like that and republished in secular mass media and so on. This young boy was, his mother came to my church and he was a Sunday school boy and a normal nice guy, and I didn't know from him, he wouldn't dare to tell me. I got to know it from somebody with whom he was together in psychiatric hospital because he was constantly suicidal. And then once later, he succeeded with that. And then I was very angry with the church and with myself that I have been so coward not to speak openly about these things. And I decided, no, I should. I started to speak openly. I said that church is immoral in this, so that they kill people with their homophobia and kill children and lead people into suicide. And this is when of course church couldn't tolerate that and excommunicated me.
And then you came to London. Why London?
I studied here in 1998, and when I came back from studies to Latvia, we had an underground gay group of those who are excluded from churches, from many different churches, mostly Lutheran, but also Catholics and an Orthodox church. And we had this gay group for 2 years, and then somebody also reported to Archbishop, I don't know how, but so it happened like that, yeah. And then I was out, and then it's, I don't want to take lot of time, but I just want to say that because I was publicly out, we had an outside congregation outside of Latvian Lutheran Church, and then there were lots of physical attacks on me, even from Christians, and even really bad physical attacks from Christians. So I couldn't walk the street in Latvia. I had to leave, or I would probably be... I mean, the traumas came once a week or once a month, and that's too much for a human being. That if you once a month are attacked, you have to leave, otherwise you will be dead. It's not okay. So I left because it was physically unbearable and emotionally unbearable.
Now, when you live in the United Kingdom and in London, how do you see the situation here? The LGBT people's possibilities in churches, is it welcome? Do you feel free here?
Because people don't know me, I feel free on the street. But also because London is very accepting place, more accepting than any other place, I think, in UK. And also, I think democracy, which is quite old, not like Latvian democracy, which is young, accept people as such, whatever they are. And I think that's really important, that part. That's very healing and helping for many people, I think, yeah. In churches, I would say that churches in Britain are still struggling, and I'm always sad about this, because I think Jesus would be on the first row to accept, always would be the first one to accept and to love people who have suffered whatever way, and who love and who were created as they are. So and this is why I think that we go to Pride. It's extremely important. It is showing who Jesus is and why he is so. What and who and how to be Christian is to be representing Jesus. Otherwise, we are worthless, and we need to love people, and we have to love those whom we even don't understand. But we need to show this love, because the persecution has been so difficult for many people that I think they need to be loved, and the message has to be there.
Pastor Maris Sands, as I mentioned also in the beginning of this podcast, we have the Council of Lutheran Churches group Lutherans Inclusive. Why is this group important? Even the acceptance of LGBT people is quite common in London.
Yes, it is common, but there are, in many churches people don't talk about this. That means people are still closeted, many people, and I not only about lesbians or gay people or bisexuals, but mostly transsexuals are very closeted in many churches. I think when only we can stop about caring for those people. We can't stop ever caring for people, but I say we can stop this kind of groups only when it doesn't matter anymore. And I hope it will be. It doesn't matter. Your sexual orientation doesn't matter. That's the aim, and it still is. Or your gender identity has to be completely accepted. Otherwise, we still have a lot of work to do.
I was actually surprised that the group that we started some months ago is rather big. I mean, it is 10, 11 people gathering once a month. Of course, one of the reasons is to prepare also for the Pride, as the Council of Lutheran Churches is taking part of that. But not only, there is still need to share the experiences and also reflect on Bible. What does it say about let's say same sex acts and in which context it is. So we are reflecting on those topics as well. So and even today, tonight, 6 o'clock, the group in CLC office will gather. If we now talk about the Pride itself, which is on the 1st of July, then we also have to think what is our message as Lutherans at that event.
Well, this is difficult, isn't it? It has to be short and concise, and I'm very open to suggestions. I think what Maris or Pastor Maris has said is quite important, to show the love of Jesus for those on the margins of society. I think that's quite important. I don't know whether that is something that we specifically as Lutherans can own. I think that's a general Christian thing that is beyond sort of the boundaries of our denomination. And it's also an interesting question because, of course, we've got people from many different churches and backgrounds that will join us in that event. So I don't know what their ideas are and how we can all bring that together under our sort of council umbrella.
The Swedish church had a big banner last year when they took part, and their slogan was "God is love."
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Mm. Yep.
And actually, as I mentioned, the group Lutherans Inclusive, which gathers here in the Council of Lutheran Churches, also talks about Bible and those passages that are used against LGBT people. And somehow we can't ignore them today either, because there are still churches and Christians in even welcoming churches that say that, you know, Bible says that it's not allowed, it's a sin, it's prohibited. So there is still a need to reflect on those Bible texts as well.
Yes, I also think it's very important to think about how we approach the Bible first. There are many ways in which you can read the Bible. You can look at it and say, I'm taking every word in this book literal. That has a lot of consequences. I wonder whether any Christian can actually claim they're taking everything literally, because there are a lot of laws, especially in the Old Testament, where I would say Christians don't pay an awful lot of attention to that. A lot of passages that refer to homosexual acts are part of that general law framework of the Old Testament. So if I don't take, say, how many steps can I walk on a Sabbath day, seriously, why is it important to take the sentence on homosexuality in the same kind of legal framework seriously? What are our criteria to judge biblical passages? And that brings us back to the wider biblical framework of what context were these texts written in? What are the foundations of Christian faith? What are our biblical hermeneutics? That's a theological expression. Like, what are the keys we use to unlock those biblical texts for us today? How do we bridge the gap from the time at which these texts were written into our, you know, time today, which is very different? And Christians have done that for the last 2,000 years. So it's quite a complex issue, but because the Bible is so essential for all of us as Christians, it is important to look at it together and find out together what things mean. And I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people get to, you know, draw different conclusions from these texts, because we do look at it from different perspectives.
For me personally, it's kind of painful to see that Christians split on this issue. We say that God is love, and we have to love all people, and then there are kind of limitations who are welcome and who are not welcome, and both defend their positions with Bible.
Mm. I think that the central part of Bible is salvation, and salvation from sin, and salvation from all sorts of calamities that we have. Salvation through Jesus Christ, through his incarnation, through his suffering, through his resurrection and ascension. I think this part is crucial to all humanity and to all of us, and how he shows and demonstrates through his life what it means to who is God, and what how he acts in this world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a central part of all Christian message. There are lots of things we can't understand even in especially, for example, relationship patterns patriarchy in Old Testament. We can't follow those rules at all. We have to follow the story of Jesus loves the world. And if we don't do that, then we lose who we are.
Yeah, I also think, I sometimes wonder whether it is actually the job of the church to judge people. I'd say that's not our job. I think that's something that only God can do. So it's not for me to say who's sort of in and who's out. My job as the church, as a Christian, is to spread the word. And I think one of the texts that has become important in that respect to me is in Matthew 22, where the king's son is getting married, that parable. And nobody shows up. And so the king sends out his servants to gather people from everywhere, like the, you know, farmers and merchants. And he, you know, specifically says, gather everyone, the good and the bad. I mean, regardless of what you think about homosexuality, whether it's a sin or not, this is an all-inclusive, like, you have to get everyone to this feast, right? And one person gets thrown out, one. And that's not a bad person. It's a person who comes and wears the wrong clothes because that person doesn't give a hoot about what this occasion is about. So it's about attitude. It's not about goodness or badness or sinfulness or not sinfulness. We are all sinners, and all our sins weigh the same according to the Bible. So I think the church's job is not to point fingers and say, these are the people that, you know, cannot be part of the church. I firmly believe that's not what the church should do.
Mm. I wanted to say one more thing about that. The persecution for faith is not something far away. It's here and now. People who believe that LGBT people are loved by God and created by God as they are, they express their belief. This is what we believe, and when we have unequal relations, unequal attitude towards, let's say, for example, like if a person cannot do that and cannot be there, and we exclude those and those and those. This all shows only one thing, that we are persecuting with our attitude, with our rules. And I think we need to be allow judgment to God, not to us.
Thank you, Pastor Maurice Sands, for coming and joining the podcast and sharing your story. And just in a moment, we will say also some announcements about the upcoming things that the Council of Lutheran Churches and member churches are doing.
Lutherans in the UK, living grace.
So, as we mentioned already in today's program, the Council of Lutheran Churches has a group, Lutherans Inclusive, which is a safe place to come together for LGBT Christians and friends and their family members. We have seen them all in our group through a few months, and it gathers once a month usually. And people who are interested and would like to come and join, then they should just send a short email to address inclusive@lutheran.org.uk. inclusive@lutheran.org.uk. So usually once in a month on Thursday, 6 o'clock, this takes place. We come together, we share some thoughts, we read Bible together, we pray, we have some something to eat, and also plan our next events. Another thing what I wanted to mention is that we have the weekly Eucharist on Tuesdays, every Tuesday in the office in Trident House.
Yes, at 12 o'clock, a good break from sort of the very busy weekday. I think at the moment it's a bit where two or three are gathered together in my name. It's nice. It's cozy, but it would be lovely to see other people come and join us. Happy to include them giving a reflection. Very open to share this with others.
Yes, and this is also live streamed on indeed. Facebook. So if people are having lunch on Tuesday and they have a possibility to go online and open Facebook, then on Facebook CLC's page, they can join us for Tuesday Eucharist at noon. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's also with reflection, so there is something to think about as well. It is both Eucharist and the Bible text with the reflection. Also, Tese worship is something that our student chaplaincy is doing once a month together with the mm-hmm. German church at Sandwich Street.
Yes.
The next Tese worship is on the 22nd of June. This is also once a month event, 10 Sandwich Street, near King's Cross Station at St. Mary's German Lutheran Church. And this is together with our student chaplaincy Thursday at 6 p.m. So that is an option. And I would also mention, as an assistant pastor in St. Anne's Lutheran Church, we have Bach Vesper every month, mostly every month, not during the Lent and in December neither. But the next Bach Vespers, which is a beautiful concert and also an evening prayer. It is usually on the last Sunday of a month. So this time on the 25th of June, 6:30 p.m. at St. Marriott Hill Church, where St. Anne's Lutheran Church gathers. It's near the Monument Station. So at St. Marriott Hill Church on Sunday, 25th of June, 6:30, Bach Vespers. And it's really, it's professional musicians who are performing Bach church cantatas, and this cantata is placed in the worship context mm-hmm. where it originally was. So it's really powerful and beautiful place and concert and evening prayer to take part of. These are the announcements. We thank you for listening. People who joined us on Facebook Live or who are listening us on podcast platforms, my name is Melis Sylt. Next to me here was Anna Kraus, CLC, Council of Lutheran Churches General Secretary. And we also had our guest, Pastor Maris Sands, with us. So have a nice day and see you or listen to each other soon again.
God bless.
Lutherans in the UK. Living Grace.